We begin the current daf, Masechtas Menachas daf test. We begin 7 lines down with the Tab of the Yamin, where the Gemara continues to explain the halachas of our parak regarding the laws of Menachas of the flower offerings. Says the Gemara as follows, Hidma, we learned, Belola chutz l'chaymas azara. Someone does the mixing, where there's the flour, and then they take the oil, and it gets mixed with the flour. Someone mixes that out of the wall of the azara, out of the courtyard area, which is where the mincha is supposed to have its avodah done with it. What's the halacha? Rabbi Yechonah Amar Pesuli says, so that's going to be invalid. Rish Lakish Amar Ksheri says it's going to be valid, as the Gemara explains. Rish Lakish Amar Ksheri says, even if it was mixed with its oil out of the azara, it's still going to be valid, because the Chsiv, the Pasuk says, V'yetzag Alei Hashem, and he pours the oil on the flour offering, V'nosnu Alei Levoin, and he puts the frankincense on it, V'hadr, and only after that does the Pasuk say, V'vil B'nei Aaron HaKoyan, and V'kometz, that then they bring it to the sons of Aaron the Kohanim, and then he does the Kemitza. What does that teach us? From the kemitza, which is the equivalent of what shechita is by an animal carbon, is what it is by a flour carbon, is from the fishful onward, which is after the flour and the oil and the frankincense were already put in, only after that, when he does the kemitza, that's when it says the avodah has to be with the kohanim. Limad al yitziko ublila, that teaches regarding the pouring of the oil and the mixing of the oil, shekshem bazar, that's valid with a non-kohen. So says Rish Lakish, from the fact that it's not considered an avodah in the sense that it doesn't require a kohen, so panim namin lebayis, so it doesn't have to be in the azara either, and therefore it's going to be valid, even if it's mixed out of the azara. Now, Rabbi Yechonah Mabsuli, he however says that it's invalid, says no. Kim na dasi yasa beklihu, since the making of the mixing has to be done in a vessel, which is the flour has to be poured into kli sharis, and then the oil, and then the mixing has to be done in the service vessel. So nehida kohen lebayis. So you're right. Although the inference you're making from the pasuk is correct that it doesn't need a kayin, but panim mias baya, but it needs to be done in the azara, because as an avayda with a kli sharis, it requires it to be done in the azara. So although a zar could do it, just like shchita could be done, but it needs to be done in the azara here too. Therefore, Rabbi Yechonah disagrees. Now, says the Gemara, Tanikav HaSed Rabbi Yechonah, of a Brice that says like Rabbi Yechonah. The Brice says, Belola Zar Ksheira, if a non-Kohen mixes it, that's valid. But Chutz L'Chaim is Azar, Psula, but if it's done out of the Azar, like Rabbi Yechonah says, then it's going to be invalid. Another Machlek is Rabbi Yechonah Shlokesh. Itma, we learned, Mincha Shechastra Kohen Kemitza. Regarding a flour offering, if it became deficient, if some of it is lacking, before the Kohen got a chance to do the Kemitza of the flour. So that's not valid. But what's the halacha? So we have machlekes, and we mentioned this in the previous daf. Rabbi Yechonah, he says, Yavi mitoich beisai v'yamalenu. Let him go home, the one who was supposed to bring the flour offering, and supplement it, fill it up to the amount they're supposed to have, because some of it fell out or got lost, and then the kohen can do the kemitza. Shlakish Amar, he says, no, lo yavi mitoich beisai v'yamalenu. You can't even go home and fill it up. It's done. That whole flour offering is invalid. As the Gemara explains, you could go home and bring and supplement the missing flour from your home. Because kemitza kavar la. What establishes this as a mincha? It's the kemitza. As long as the kohen didn't do kemitza, it's not called, quote unquote, a mincha. And therefore, you cannot invalidate it by what the pasuk says, minha mincha, where Gemara later on expounds what does it mean from the flour offering. Exclusionary term, excluding if it's a chaser, if it's lacking, because it wasn't a mincha chaser, it wasn't a mincha until you do the kemitza. Like, when we're talking about over here the words kavala, what it means to say when we talk about mincha is that what makes it that it's one entity, and then you can't change it from what it was and to supplement with something else, because it already got ironed together into one entity, then Rabbi Yechonah says only from the kemitza. So if it's lacking before the kemitza, go ahead, fill it up. It didn't become yet a mincha to become possible. Rish Lakish Amallah Yav Mitech Beisim Malena. He says, no, you can't go home and bring new flour and supplement it, because Kedusha is Kli Kavala. What makes it into one entity? It's when it gets sanctified in the same vessel, then it's already called a mincha. And now you already apply minha mincha, that a mincha chaser is possible because it already became a mincha when it was put into the vessel, even before the kemitza, so you can't supplement it anymore. The whole thing is invalidated. Now, Eisver Birchner Rishim Milakish. Birchner asked on Rish Lakish's opinion that he held that you can't supplement it once it was put into the vessel from a Mishnah Masechtas Negayim. The Mishnah says over there, chaser haloik. If the leg of oil that is supposed to be brought for the mitzvah was lacking, so says the Mishnah, imat shelo yotzak, if they didn't yet pour from the leg of shemen on his left palm, so yimalenu, so you go ahead and you supplement it and just refill it. And you don't say, wait a second, it already was one entity of a leg when it was already put into the klisharis, Says the Gemara, that's obviously a refutation of Rish Lakish, even though it was put into the Kli, until the first Avodah was done, it's not considered the Loig of the Shem, and just like we don't say over here, it's not considered the Mincha to be a Mincha Chaserah until the Kemitzah is done, like Rabbi Yechon, not like Rish Lakish. Another Machleik is Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish. Idma, we learned, and we also had this Machleik as mentioned in the previous daf, Shiraim Shechasru ben Kemitzah Laktar. Regarding there's when the flower offering is brought, so it's brought on one mass, but then a fistful is removed, that becomes the kemitzah that's sacrificed in Mizbech. The rest of it is called the shirayim, the leftovers that's eaten by the kahana. Says the Gemara, regarding the shirayim, shachasru ben kemitzah laktara, the kemitzah was taken off and it was intact. Then between the time that the kohen had that he took the fistful, before they got a chance to sacrifice in Mizbech, the leftover flour, which eaten by the kahanim, is already missing some of it. What's the halacha? He says, Makta kemitzah lein. You could still sacrifice the kemitzah for that leftover flour, which is what the kemitzah is. It's a remembrance for the leftover, which permits the leftovers to be eaten. So though some of it is missing, you could still go ahead and sacrifice the kemitzah. Resh Lakish in Makta kemitzah lein. He says, no, you can't. Once it's already missing from the shrine, you can't sacrifice the kemitzah anymore. So that explains the Gemara. The Gemara qualifies their machlekes and says, Alib de Rabbi Eliezer, kul amalei pligi. None of them were disagreeing in the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, because as the Gemara is going to shortly quote, if in a case where the entirety of the leftovers are lost or burnt, Rabbi Eliezer still says you're allowed to go ahead and burn the kaimetz, for sure over here where it's just missing some of it, where there's still some left over, for sure he would allow it to be sacrificed. Ki pligi alib de Rabbi Yeshua. Their machlekes was only in his dispute in Rabbi Yeshua. It's not like learn the Mishnah that says later on the Chavav Med Aleph, where Nitmushi Arehov, let's say the leftover of the flour, not the claimant's part, became Tameh, or Nisrifu Shireh, or got burnt, or Abdi Shireh, or got lost, in situations basically that there's nothing to do with the Shireh, it cannot be eaten. Says the Mishnah, Kemides Rebbe Eliezer, according to the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer, who he's quoted in Masech Pesachim Nef Ayin Zan Med Aleph, that the Pasuk says, Vasisa Ilasecha Abasav Adam, you should make your carbon oilah, the meat and the blood, which he learns, each one independently, that you could go ahead and sacrifice the blood, even though there's no meat. So says the Mishnah, according to him, Kshera, it's valid to go ahead and sacrifice the Kemitzah, because even though there's no Shirayim that the Kemitzah is permitting, it's just like you could throw the blood of a carbon, even though it's not permitting the meat to be eaten. So therefore, even if it all got ruined, all the Shirayim, you can still sacrifice the Kemitzah. But says the Mishnah, Kemitzah Rabbi Yeshua, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, that he says, Im ein baser ein dam, im ein dam ein baser, he says, if you're missing one of those two, either the blood or the meat, you can't go ahead and sacrifice it. So if let's say the meat is lost, you cannot throw the blood of the carbon because it's a matter. It permits the meat to be eaten, but that's only if it's permitting something. If there's no more meat, it's not permitting anything. So then Pesula, in this equivalent case, when the kaimitz, which is what permits the rest of the shirayim to be eaten, but there's no shirayim, so therefore then, according to him, you now go ahead and sacrifice the kemitzah. So explains the Gemara, man the apostle Rish Lakish, who said in the halacha that we taught, when some of the shirayim become deficient between the kemitzah and the ketara, that he said that it's possible, that's Rabbi Yeshua. Like he says this idea, that if something happens to the shirayim, you can't go ahead and sacrifice the kemitzah. But man the machsh, Rabbi Yechon disagreed, even in the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, but in the halacha that they're talking about, that if it's chaser from the shirayim between the kemitzah and the ketara, he explains because ad kan lo amar Rabbi Yeshua Hasam, where do we find Rabbi Yeshua over there in the Mishnah later on, the Chavav, that he says that if something happens to the shirayim, you cannot do the kemitzah anymore. That's el delo yishtair. That's because nothing of it was left over. All of it became tamei or got lost or got burnt. But in the case that he's disagreeing with Rish Lakish, that some of the kemitzah, that some of the shirayim are left over, just some of it became deficient, even Rabbi Yeshua would agree that you could still go ahead and burn the kemitzah. As Rabbi Yechanan says, the Tanakh, learn the Braisa. Rabbi Yeshua, in the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua himself, you see this idea of Rabbi Yechanan differentiation. He says, Kalatzvachim Shebet Torah, all karbanis in the Torah, Shenishtayer mehem, as long as it's left over from them, at least a kezayis abasar, an olive-sized piece of the meat. So even if some of it, a lot of it, got burned, got lost, got tummy, but as long as there's an olive-sized of meat, oy kezayis chelav, or at least even an olive-sized of the fat, because as the Gemara in Pesachim, the Fine Testament Alpha explains, that even if there's, not even if there's meat, Rishu's opinion was, you have to have meat to be able to throw the blood. So on that, the Gemara in Pesachim explains, even if there's the fats of the animal, which are burnt in Mizbeach, will still be able to throw the blood. Because as the Pasuk says in Meyukir Yazayin, Bizarka Koinus Adam, the Koin throws the blood, the Hekhtra Chalev, and he sacrifices the fats on the Mizbeach. So you see that as long as there's Chalev, even if there's no meat, we could also still throw the blood. So it has to be at least a Kazayas of meat or Kazayas of Chalev. then zarek adam, then you can throw the blood. Which again, this is the idea, exactly like Rabbi Yochanan, where it doesn't have to be everything left over the way Rosh Lakish was saying it. As long as there's some of it, even if some of it got deficient, like by Karbanah, so too by Menachas, you can still go ahead and burn the Kaimitz. Now, continues the Braisa, let's say there's only Kechatzi Zayis Basar or Kechatzi Zayis Chelev, you have a half of an olive size of meat, and even if you also have a half an olive size of the fats that are sacrificed in the Mizbeach, in the Zarek HaSadam, then you cannot throw the blood on the Mizbeach anymore. The reason for that is because the two halves of the olive, of the consumption of the meat by the Kahanim, and of the consumption of the Mizbeach, of the fats, they don't combine. So therefore, since the whole element of throwing the blood is only to permit either a murim to Mizbeach or buster for a person, since both of them got lost, and their half a olive size is not significant, so what's the point of throwing the blood? And therefore you can't throw the blood. Now in contrast, uba'ayla, but by karban ayla, where both the meat and the fats are all burnt on the Mizbeach, so therefore there the meat and the fat will combine, there are filik kechatzi zayis basar, kechatzi zayis chelim, even if you only have a half of olive size of meat and a half of olive size of chelim, zarek as adam, you can still throw the blood, like we said, because mnesha ba'ayla kula kol, because by karban ayla, all of it is burnt, so they do combine, they're all considered achilis Mizbeach. Now, continues Rabbi Yeshua uba mincha, but by a flour offering, even if all of it is still intact, lo yizrek, you're not going to be able to throw the blood. Now, as the Gemara continues on the base and asks, mincha maya vidita, what's mincha doing over here? What does it apply? Throwing blood? If you have mincha, a mincha doesn't have blood. It's a flour sacrifice, not a blood sacrifice. Adarama Papa explains what Rabbi Yeshua was saying was minchas nesachim. The flour libations, which are the menachas that come with karbanis, there is what Rabbi Yeshua is saying. If the chelev and the meat of the carbon are lost, and the only thing that's still intact is the flour offering, that's Rabbi Yeshua is saying that you're not allowed to throw the blood because of that. You still have something that's permitting, which is the mincha. Because Solketai, I mean, you would have thought to say, well, Hayil Bahadi Zevach Asya, since the flour offering does come as part of the carbon, so Kigufi de Zevach Dami would be just like the animal itself, and just like if there's some edible part for the person, which is usually the meat, then you're allowed to go and throw the blood, so to here, with the mincha left over, you're allowed to throw the blood. Kamash Malan, that no, it's not the primary carbon itself, so although it comes with it, it's not going to be permitting it, allowing the blood to be thrown, to permit the mincha to be eaten. No, so therefore that supported what Rabbi Yochanan said in his disagreement with Rish Lakish. Now, and that says the Gemara, which therefore comes back a question on Rish Lakish, because you see Rabbi Shua does agree, you don't need to have all the Shiraim, you only have to have some of it, like a Gezais. But in that says the Gemara, but among the Pasul, Rish Lakish, who invalidates, even if something is left over, as long as some of it became deficient between the Kemitz and the Ketar, he says it becomes Pasul. He says, no, Kishani Hacha, yeah, Rabbi Yeshua was talking about by Zvachim, by Karbanis. There, if you have only a Kazayas Abbas or a Kazayas Chalev, it's going to be good. But here, by flour offering, is different. That if even if only some of it is deficient, even if something is left, it's going to be Pasul. Why? Because the Amakra, the Pasuk says by Menachas, V'heirim HaKoyin min HaMincha Esas Karas. So the Koyin elevates from the flour offering that its remembrance is what the Kemitza is. V'ikhtar Mizbeach, and he sacrifices on the Mizbeach. When they use the terminology from the Min HaMincha, the flour offering, sounds like Ad Isa Lekula Mincha, until you have the entirety of the Mincha intact, and if not, Lo Yakter, then you're not allowed to burn it. You have to have the whole Mincha, and therefore it's different than even Rabbi Yeshua is going to agree to me, Rish Lakish says, which is that by Mincha you have to have the whole thing in contrast to by Zvachim. Now, V'idach, whereas Rabbi Yechanan interprets, no, when the Pasuk says Min HaMincha, from the flour offering, it means Mincha Shahisekvar. It means, yes, it means that it's intact, but it doesn't mean it's intact now. It means that if at the time of the Kemitza, then it was intact, even if now it's not whole, then you're going to still burn it on Mizbeach, which is the opinion of Rabbi Yechanan. Which, as the parentheses adds on those words, Shleim b'shas Kemitza Yakter, as long as it's whole at the time of the Kemitza, then you could burn it, Avagav Dehashtei in the Shleim, even if right now it's not whole. Now the Gemara continues, Eisvei Rabbi Yechanan Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yechanan asked on Rish Lakish from the following brisa, which we brought in the previous daf. The brisa says, Achalei Pirka, up until that they didn't remove yet the marachis of the lechem apanim, which are the 12 showbreads on the shulchan every Shabbos, until they didn't remove it, nifris lachma, one of the breads of the lechem apanim broke apart, which is this halacha of chaser, of it's already lacking from the shirayim. So says the Brayis, alechem pasul, so the bread is invalidated, ve'ein makta leves as a bezichin, and you're not allowed to go ahead and sacrifice the frankincense, which is the equivalent of what kamitz is by the lechem apanim, is you're not allowed to sacrifice that anymore on the Mizbeach. But, says the Braisa, But if it only broke the bread, after they had already removed it from the shulchan, so then halachim pasal, the bread's going to be invalidated. But you're allowed to go ahead and sacrifice the frankincense on it. So one thing you see, however, is in this last case of the brisa, that when the shirayim, the leftovers, which is what the lechem upon them is in contrast to the levaina, where they became deficient between the kemitza, which is the taking off of the bezichin from the shulchan, and before it was haktara, before it was burnt, that you're still going to burn the kaimitz, which is the bezichin, on that bread, which is like Rabbi Yechon, not like Rish Lakish. Now, the next part is not necessary for what Rabbi Yechon's question is on Rish Lakish, it's just because we taught this brisa as earlier, the whole brisa, so therefore the Gemara says it here too. But Vamir Abulaz, he just qualifies the halacha of the brisa. He says, Loi perka mamish, it doesn't even have to mean literally that it was taken off already. As long as it already reached the time of taking it off, even if it wasn't taken off, it's like it was taken off. And the Gemara discussed this in the previous Abba. One thing you see is not like Rish Lakish, that you see even though part of it is missing from the Shiraim between the Kemitza and Naktara, it's still going to be kosher. Meaning that you're going to be able to go ahead and burn the Kemitza, although the bread cannot be eaten, the Shiraim cannot be eaten, but the Kemitza you could burn, not like Rish Lakish. So Amalei Rish Lakish at Rabbi Yechonon, he says, no, Hamani. Who's the Tana this Brisa? That's Rabbi Eliezer. He, like the Gemara said in Amud Aleph, we're not disagreeing in Rabbi Eliezer. He says, even if the whole thing's missing, you could burn the Kemitza. So, of course. So, therefore, don't ask on me, because we're disagreeing in Rabbi Yeshua. In Rabbi Yeshua, I would tell you that he would hold that, no, actually, in this halacha that you're quoting from the Brisa, you actually would not be able to burn the Kemitza, because it was chaser ben Kemitza lakdar. On that, Amalei, Rabbi Yechonon said back to Rish Lakish, I'm telling you a complete, intact Mishnah, meaning a Stam Mishnah, non-Mis Mishnah, the Amrli At Rabbi Eliezer, and you're telling me that, oh, who is it, Rabbi Eliezer, and if it's not difficult on you? Rabbi Eliezer, if the Tana would be Rabbi Eliezer, so Mayiri Nifras, why would the Tana then say, as his Chiddush, that you would go ahead and sacrifice the Kemitza, if it was between the Kemitza and Akhtara, even if the bread became crumbled? I feel a sorrowful of it now, actually, with Rabbi Eliezer. You could say that even if it got burnt and totally got lost. Because he says, not only a deficient, he says the whole thing could be missing and still you go ahead and burn the Kemitza. So therefore, obviously, it's Rabbi Yeshua, not like Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara Ishtik, so Rish Lakish was silent. So the Gemara asks, Vamai Shasik, why is Rish Lakish silent? Lei Malei, why didn't he answer to Rabbi Yechonon from the brisa that he was asking on him, from the lechem upon him, that you see, oh, even though it's missing between the kemitza and the ketar, you could still be makter the kemitza, which in that equivalent is the frankincense. Why didn't he tell him tzibur shani? The lechem upon him is not an individual's mecha, it's the whole Jewish people. The Kohen would do the service, they're our agents, but it's a carbon of the tzibur. And he should have said, oh, lechem upon him? That's different. Since we're talking about a carbon tzibur, and by a carbon tzibur, even if it was tuma, the people would be allowed to do the avoda, as the Gemara says in regards to the carbon tamid. It says b'mayadli in its time, which the Gemara elsewhere says that tells us even if it's Shabbos, you're allowed to bring the carbon tamid. Even if there's tuma, you're allowed to bring it. So ishtri nami chaser. So that's why, even though it's missing, that's why you're allowed to do it. In contrast, don't ask at me that I'm talking about a regular individual's mincha, that no, the Rabbi Yeshua would agree that it would be invalid if it's missing, and you would not be able to mak the kaimetz. Here, it's because the carbon tzibur, there are leniencies, like we find. Why didn't Rish Lakish answer that? On that, Rav Avi Barabi says, Zaysa Meris, so from this you could tell us, from the fact that Rish Lakish didn't answer this, obviously, hachasaron kabal mumdami, that when a carbon is missing something, in this case, with a lechem upon him is missing from the bread, it's like a blemish. That's what an animal is. When it's blemished, it's missing something of it. And there is no blemished animal to be kosher in a carbon tzibur more than an individual's carbon. And therefore, when it's missing between the kemitza and naktara, if it truly would be possible by an individual's carbon, the Reish Lakish holds, then it would be possible by a tzibur's too, and that's why he was sound, because obviously you see, but the tzibur's is not, and therefore a yachad's also not going to be, and therefore that's not like him. Now, the Gemara tells us another reason why he didn't respond, because Yasser Rapapa v'kamal ha-shmaita, Rapapa was sitting, and he was saying over this teaching, this sugya, that Rish Lakish was silent, and he didn't answer, oh, don't ask me from the brayis of lechem upon, that's a carbon tzibur, that's different. Amalei Rav Yisa bar Shmuel Rapapa, he said, he told him why he was silent. He says, because mi lo yaskinan, isn't it talking about this machlokes that we mentioned before of Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish, meaning that Rish Lakish says that you cannot go ahead and be makta the kaimitz on the shirayim that became chasa between the kemitz and naktara. When they're having the machlokes in the mincha, wasn't Rish Lakish even talking about b'mincha sal emir, the mincha that comes on the 16th of Nisan on the second day of Pesach, the tzibur he, with that mincha, and it's not lechem upon them, it's a type of mincha, that's a carbon tzibur, the mincha zayimah. upligi. And even there he's disagreeing, because they don't differentiate what type of a mincha. And therefore, we would extend that also the psula of chaser would be even by the case of the bezichim lechem apanim. And that's why he couldn't answer and say tzibur shani, because his machlekes Rabbi Yechim was even by a mincha of a tzibur, like by mincha zalimer. And still he says it's going to be possible, and that's why he was refuted from that braisa, where you see that it's not possible, and you do bring the bezichim, and that's why he didn't answer anything, because his machlekes explicitly was even the case of a tzibur. Now the Gemara continues, now asking under Bi'echnon. Amar of Malkiah. Rav Malkiah said as follows. It says, Tanichada, we have one braisa that says in the pasuk regarding Menaches, it says, Misalta, from its flour, which is, how much flour does a mincha have? It has to have at least a nisarin of flour. What is that? What does it teach from its flour? It says the braisa, Shem chasra kol shu psula. If it's missing even just a minute amount, it's going to be invalid. You have to go ahead and have the whole entire flour. So too when the pasuk says, Mishamna, from its oil, which is, as the Gemara says later on, Daf Pei Chesem and Aleph, that a mincha has to have the flour and a loig of oil. What does it mean, from its oil? Shem chaser kol shu pasul, if it's missing even a small amount of the oil, it's invalid. That's one brisa. Now, b'tani idach, there's another brisa from a different pasuk. It says, v'neiseres min ha-mincha, what's left over from the flour offering. What's the flour offering? Prat le-mincha shechaser hi. That excludes if the flour offering, where if the flour, the whole entity is missing something, because the word mincha sounds like an intact mincha. So too, or if v'shechasa kaimtza, if let's say the fistful is missing something, because the shiraim of the flour offering have to be made according to the primary halacha, which the Gemara later on the Chozayin Manav tells us that if the kmitza is missing something, the whole thing is pasul. From the fact that it says the word malay kaimtz two times, says it has to be a fistful, tells us it can't be missing anything. Or let's say v'shalehikta milavenase klum. If let's say none of the frankincense was sacrificed, the Gemara later on the Chazayin Manav tells us that the sacrificing of this frankincense and the kmitza are both integral, and therefore if you didn't sacrifice any levina, that's also going to be a psul. Now the reason why the wording is that he didn't sacrifice anything from the levina is because if at least even some of the levina was sacrificed, actually then you would be able to eat the shirayim of the mincha, as the Gemara says later on in Daf Yud Beis and Aleph, that if some of the levayim became missing at the time of the sacrifice, it's still going to be kosher. But if none of it was, that's just like the case of if any of the kmitza is missing or any of the mincha is missing, that then it's going to be possible. So asks Rav Malkiyoy, Trei kroy bechaseiros, two psukim that are excluding if it's missing, one the first brisa of misolta, and the second one from minha mincha, which, however, the pasuk of Mishamna, that he's not counting because that's necessary to teach, even before the kmitza, that you cannot be missing any of the oil. But regarding flour, lamali, why do we need two psukim to say that it's a problem if you're missing any of the mincha? Says Rav Malkiah, which is two difficulties under Bi'echanan. Lav, isn't it telling us, chad, one of them is excluding lemincha shechaster kaidin kmitza. If the mincha, if the flour offering is missing any of its elements before the fistful, which is excluding Rabbi Yechon's halacha that we mentioned previously, because to tell you that you can't go home and supplement it. If it's lacking even before the kmitza, not like Rabbi Yechon, who he said only becomes a mincha when the kmitza is done, obviously one is excluding if the mincha became chaser before the kmitza. The chad and the other exclusion is l'shirayim shechaser bin kmitza l'aktara. If it became lacking between the kmitza and aktara, which is that you're not allowed to go ahead and sacrifice the kmitza on them, which is b'tayuf Rabbi Yechon metavayu. That refutes Rabbi Yechon on both points. Because obviously, if you have two exclusions of lacking, one should be before the kmitza and one should be after the kmitza. Once aktara is done, so then it's done. So the only two times we could find is before kmitza and after kmitza, before the aktara. Sounds like before the kmitza, you can't supplement it, and after the kmitza, that you can't sacrifice the kmitza in it. Those are both Malik Rabbi Yechon, who said that if it's beforehand, you could supplement it, and afterwards, you could go ahead and sacrifice in it. Says Gemara Allah, no, it's not difficult in Rabbi Yechon. Chad, one of the psukim is lemincha shechaser kaid mekmitza. You're right. It's telling you regarding a mincha that became lacking before the kmitza. However, not the way you said it. It's teaching us the imevi mi beisivim malenu in that only if you go home and you first supplement from your home, then it's going to be okay. V'loy loy. That's what it's teaching. But if you don't supplement this, then it's going to be a problem. If it's lacking before the kmitza and you didn't supplement it, that's the problem. But not saying you can't supplement it. And the chad, the second one, is yes, it's talking about the shirayim shechaser bin kmitza l'aktara. It's talking about the case if the shirayim, the leftovers, became deficient between the fistful of the kmitza and before it was sacrificed. But not the way you said it. It's teaching us the avagav de makter kaimetz alein, where, like Rabbi Yechon had said, although you could sacrifice the kmitza on it, but what it is excluding is telling you, but eisin shirayim asum l'achila, but the leftovers is still going to be forbidden to be eaten, because that pasuk of minah mincha is actually talking about the shirayim and not the kmitza itself. The kmitza could be burnt, but it's excluding the shirayim from being eaten. As the Gemara says, because the Baalu, we actually had this question. According to Rabbi Yechanan, the one who says that if the shirayim became deficient between the kmitza and the burning of the kmitza, and he holds you can still burn the kmitza for the shirayim. So, eisen shirayim mayin bachilab. What's halacha? Could the shirayim be eaten or not? Adam ziiri amakra v'haneiseres. Like we quoted before, the leftover of the mincha is what's called the shirayim, and that's what's eaten. V'loy haneiseres min haneiseres, but not what's left over from what's left over. In other words, initially the shirayim are the leftover of the kmitza, because you take off the kmitza, and now they're the leftovers. But when the shirayim are lacking, they're the leftovers of the leftovers. That is like Rabbi Yechanan had said, that's what's being excluded from the second pasuk. That is the situation where the shirayim not going to be eaten, although the kmitza is being burnt. Now Rabbi Yani Amar, he says, when the pasuk says, v'neseres min ha-mincha, he says, meha mincha, it means mincha shahisa kvar. The mincha that was already there at the time of the kmitza, which that was whole, that even though it became lacking between the kmitza and the aktara, still we're going to call it v'neseres min ha-mincha, and therefore Rabbi Yani actually disagrees with the Zairi, and he says that actually the shirayim could be eaten. That's one interpretation in Rashi. Another interpretation is actually no. What he's saying with these words, meha mincha, mincha shahisa kvar, it doesn't mean that that as long as it was a mincha that was whole at the time of the kmitza, even though it became deficient afterwards, it means as long as it was a mincha at the time of the haktara, the burning. And he learns the pasuk b'neseres min ha-mincha, that what's left over in a flour offering that was whole at the time that you made it, those are the shirayim that Yechla Aaron Levan and the Aaron the sons eat. But he's not allowed to eat the shirayim that became shirayim from a mincha that was chaserah, which that's essentially just like Ziri. So Rashi says that's what's called Mashmosh Darshan Nikabinai. They're both saying the same halacha, just from different places in the pasuk, but to say the same idea, which again is like we had explained for Rabbi Yechanan of the second pasuk, which, yeah, there's a problem between the kmitza and aktara, but not a problem of sacrificing the kmitza, but rather not being able to eat the shirayim, because either you can only eat the leftovers of the mincha, not the leftovers of the leftovers, or because it says meha mincha, which is only the mincha that was whole at the time of the aktara, but if it became chasa before the aktara, then you can't eat those leftovers. Nothing more continues with the halacha of our Mishnah that said, kametz b'smail. We had a machlekes regarding if the kain did the kmitza with a left hand, which is not valid, tana kametz is possible. And then we had the other opinion which said, and regarding all the halachas, that no, you could just put it back and do it with the right hand. Now, it says the Gemara, menan emili, from where do we know this, that doing the kmitza with the left hand is possible? So Amr Abzeri says, because the Amakra, Pasuk says in Mayikra, that Vayakrev esat mincha, that he brought the flower offering near, Vayamali kapi mimeno, and he filled up his palm with the mincha. Now, that's the halacha, the kmitza, filling up the palm with it. Now, kavze eni de'amahu, I don't know, when you're talking about palm, which one, left hand, right hand? Kishu oimer, but when the Pasuk says in Mayikra, regarding the mitzayra, it says, V'lokach ha-koin me-loig Hashem. The koin takes from the leg of oil, V'yitzik al-kaf ha-koin ha-smolas, and he pours it onto another koin's left hand, on his left palm. Oh, kan smolas. Here the pasuk says it has to be the left hand. Ha-kol makum shenemakaf. But anywhere else where it says the palm and it doesn't say the left, ein eli yamin is only the right, and that's how we know the kmitza has to be done with the right hand. Now that is the Gemara, but v'hamibayle le-gufei. But you need this pasuk of smolas by the mitzayra, by that kain who's doing the avodah, to tell you that over there it's with the left hand and not the right hand, who said it's there to make an inference regarding everywhere else where it says kav? So the Gemara, smala sachri niksiv. Oh, there's another time over there by the mitzayra of Usher, which what this first pasuk was talking about. There's a mitzayra that's wealthy, a mitzayra that's poor, depending on how wealthy he is, what type of carbon he's going to bring. So two times by the wealthy mitzayra, it says the word smala. So obviously, okay, one's telling you the halacha that you have to use the left hand over here. And the extra one is telling you, but that somewhere else, anywhere else, by the kmitza, for example, use the right hand. On that is the Gemara, how do you know that? But ve'ema, maybe say that the reason why it says the second time the word smile is to be what's called a miyut achar miyut, is to exclude, saying left, not right, and then says the second time smolas, which is left, not right. From there you actually learn out that actually, that no, ein miyut achar miyut el rabbis, when you have an exclusionary term, and again another one, it actually includes, to tell you, maybe the second time it says smal is coming to include that actually the right hand of the kohen is kosher by the oil of the mitzayra. How do you know the second time is to exclude and say other place is going to be right hand? Maybe it's saying even for the mitzayra, when you're saying a second time of exclusionary term, is actually including that the right hand is kosher. Says the Gemara, smallest achrin l'ksiv. Says a third time the word the left hand. This time by the mitzayra of the ani, but the poor mitzayra. Now, if it was telling us the halacha of mir achamid, then why would it say it three times? Just say it two times. Obviously, kan smallest, the third time is coming to tell you that only over here you do the left hand, vein achas smallest, but nowhere else do you do the left hand. Rather, it's going to be with the right hand. On that, as the Gemara, no vein adarabe. Maybe say it to the contrary. Maybe say, it's coming to tell you, Ma'kan smolas, just like over here, it's with the left hand. Maybe it's coming to that you should learn out from here to say that whatever it says, the palm, it means the left palm. Says the Gemara, Arba smolas ksibi. Says the word, the left hand, four times. Treba ani, betreba asher. Two times by the poor mitzvah and two times by the wealthy mitzvah. Now Rashi brings a few interpretations that he doesn't like. And he says the appropriate interpretation of the Gemara over here is saying, and the fact that it said it so many times, the way we learn out is that we're going to end up saying that it's telling you that only over here it's going to be the left hand, but in general, it's going to be the right hand. How so? Because if it was coming to teach us, as the Gemara had been asking, that maybe to tell you that just like over here it's the left hand, also everywhere else it should be the left hand, but then if it's telling you this idea, which is usually what's called a main account, if it's not applicable for here to tell you the left, because it already said, so must be it's coming to tell you for all other places it's going to be the left, but then in that case, it should only have to say the word smallest three times. Why? Because with the three times, it would have been, the first one would have told you the halacha itself, like we said, chalagufe, that over here it needs to be the left hand. The second one would be teaching you that just like over here it's the left hand, why say a second time? To tell you that everywhere else it also has a left hand. And the third time would be telling you that not to learn it as mir achar mir, because if only said two times, you wouldn't know to say the limud of comparing to other places or to the left hand. Because you would say it's actually coming to include the right hand for the mitzvah, because ein mir achar mir. But by saying it a third time, you know that's obviously not ein mir achar mir, and therefore it's coming to tell you that everywhere else is also going to be the left hand. But then why does it say it a fourth time? Oh, fourth time is coming to tell you that no, because only over here, because it was coming to teach other places to say only three times. The fourth time is saying that no, only, and that's, we're saying all those times because else you would have thought to learn it other ways. When you have a fourth time, what's that teaching? Must be telling us that no, only over here is it the left hand, but everywhere else the right hand. That's how we know the halacha of the Mishnah, that kmitza b'smal is possible.